Bush. No, yeah, but where? What? Where's Shepherd's Bush? London. Oh, you're in London.
Oh, okay. Jesus, really?
London. Yeah, and you realise you've got through to like central control.
That's terrible.
And they've got, yeah, it's like a company that sits there and sort of deals with people who are stuck in lifts.
What can I do to help? Sorry, it'll take us about 3 hours to get to you.
Well, yeah, no. Then they said, oh, yeah, and they sort of took down the details and went, okay, right. All right, thanks. Bye. Right, and then they sort of go. And then because I was stuck in the lift with a fucking baby, and it was this friend of mine who had a baby, had just had a baby, and the baby pooed it, so she had to, like, change its fucking, you know, all of that in the lift. Yeah, and then what was exciting was then firemen came and open the doors.
And were you at a floor? Were you in between floors?
Slightly. So there was a bit of, there was about that much.
Right.
I don't know what would have happened. If it had been halfway, I wouldn't have. It was quite scary stepping out anyway, because you sort of think it's going, you
it
just
drop.
Think it's going to go like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they don't drop, do they? Because they've got teeth.
They've got teeth.
Don't you know anything about fucking lifts? They've got teeth.
They drop in the Towering Inferno. That's the only
thing. Yeah, but they can't. That
I've
was
got.
A lie.
Right.
And there's a bloke who catches the lift up to the top floor on fire in the Towering Inferno and comes out on fire. No, that would have gone out because it would have burnt up all the oxygen in that lift really quick. No, they can't plummet because they've got sort of ratchety teeth that stop them.
Supposing the teeth wore away, though. This is what you're not thinking
of.
The
teeth
could wear away.
If the teeth broke.
Falling. Heavy,
well, you must have been in a lift that lurches because everyone's...
No, never.
Never?
I don't think I have either.
I've been in that one. If you jump about in it, it wobbles and it's quite good fun.
Right. Have you not been in a lift?
Not a lurchy lift, no.
Wobbles around?
No.
Well,
Jesus,
you need to,
I've not lived, man. This is.
Do you want
loads.
A drink or anything?
Yeah.
What would you like?
Oh, I'll have coffee. I'll have a black coffee. Look at that. Someone's left some prescription drugs.
That's yours, man. That's yours. We've got your rider.
Black coffee. Any sugar?
Genuinely, look. What do you think that is? It says BL on it.
You take sugar.
What is that? Is it good?
I can look it up and I'll tell you.
I don't know who does a show in this studio.
No one. They do podcasting things.
Podcast intros.
What's a BL?
And can I get some water, please?
Oh, and a glass of water.
Oh, did I? Yeah,
okay,
just black.
Please?
No, did I say?
Oh, no sugar, no sugar.
Yeah, black, no sugar. Yeah.
And a glass of water. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my chewing gum in a bit.
Okay. Bye. We're in the studio. Bye. Okay.
How you doing? You're right.
Habit. Yeah.
Thanks for coming in. It's all very. Spit it out.
Are you taking those pills?
No, I'm not going to take it. It's just interesting, isn't it? See, because I'm having to take pills all the time, though, because I fucked my neck. So I just wondered what that was. Like, it could be. Could that be Valium? Could it be? It's Monday. Whatever it is, it's something you take every day.
Monday.
I'm just really,
Louise,
really
test the pill for Charlie. Come on, he's keen to know.
Today's one, and whoever's the one who's most mental downstairs. I
Yeah.
So there's a guy who is in love with you here, and he would like you to sign his book if you wouldn't mind.
This is not the best way to intro him.
I've got a friend who's got a bit of a man crush on you as well.
I never get to meet these people. Oh, what is it? I had to sign somebody's book. I can't remember what. Somebody said, "Oh, will you make this out to Steve or something like this?" And I went. And I sort of wrote, like, fuck you, Steve, for a joke or something. I said, what does Steve do? And they went, oh, he's dead.
Oh.
And it was like some sort of memento. That I just,
oh, no.
Oh, to Pete, happy birthday.
You can write fuck you on it.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
Oh, no, look.
Swear.
Look.
Yes, oh, no, I'll give you a dud pen.
Yeah.
I can't
work with that.
Silver pen. Actually, Charlie, I've got... Chrissy's coming up with the drinks.
Yeah.
I'll let her tell you,
You slept with her once and had a baby and you don't know it.
Her husband used to work at computers.
Oh my God, that's a fucking bar from the past.
And she'll tell you the story, but
right.
Some abuse in his direction would probably go down
right. They fucking make a fortune. I used to like own part of the computer exchange as a company.
Did you really?
I used to own part of it because I did their logos and sort of like I did. And and now that I was curious just literally last week, and I sort of looked them up and see they've got branches in America, Spain, and sort of all over the country. I had no idea.
They're not as geeky as they used to be. Used to be the one in off
Rathbone
of Oxford
Place.
Street. Yeah, the basement
That's
downstairs used to be beautiful.
Mm. You could smoke behind the counter. You're encouraged to smoke
behind
the counter and swear at people.
Fantastic.
Sort of in this day and age, though.
Yeah. Apparently it's your birthday, Pete. Yeah, no, you could swear. Well, I think you can't. You probably can't.
Oh, if we're doing the signings, can you sign one for my sister, please?
Oh, fucking hell.
And it's a bit of a good time filler before the drinks are coming.
Okay. That's really, God, that's creepy. I've forgotten all about that.
To Joe, please, J-O. It's a Christmas J-O. Present.
Right.
And then we'll do this. This is what we'll do the thing, the talk thing.
Yes.
That's what it's here for.
See you later.
We just invite people to come and hang out with us for half an hour.
And do this. And what prove they can write.
You've passed the writing test.
Now I'll try the speaking.
Bless you. Thank
what
you very
the
much.
Cover? Fucking hell.
Well, I took. I thought
that would get ripped.
Well, it looks like a proper book like this,
doesn't it?
It looks posh. I was reading it on an airplane, so I took the cover off because they do get damaged. Now, I was thinking.
I thought that was a security thing you were going to say or something like that.
They made you take your belts and your shoes and all covers of books off.
Right.
So that there's no chance of doing a Richard Reed job. Should we do this?
You could build a bonfire. I'm going to switch my phone off.
Coming in halfway through.
Well, that's. Hey, do you know what? That's crazy. Ooh. That might just work. Do we need to adjust the microphone?
Because that's not right.
Yeah, no, it's, well, it's recording your shoulder.
On a rubbish one because it's. Is it?
Oh, no, that's okay. Is that all right? I'll sit back a bit.
Shall
I sit back a bit?
It sounds all right. Hello.
What's that? The home of the no repeat guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
The new Dave Gorman
between
says,
10 and
you
5.
You have to say that all the time.
No.
Ian never says it.
I don't play by the rules, Charlie.
You don't have to say Mike live or anything like that.
I have to say that on the phone. Right. Anyway, shall we do it?
Yes. Sorry, yes.
Charlie Brooker's here.
Hello.
If this was Steve Wright, you'd get a woo.
No, that's where you're wrong.
Excuse me?
No, because I was interviewed by Steve Wright.
Oh, hello.
Not that long ago.
Yeah.
And there was none of that.
Really?
What a crashing disappointment.
Oh, here comes your drinks. Look.
Oh, that's good.
So maybe they do it.
A pint of water.
Now, Kelly, is that your name? Chrissy. Chrissy, I've been calling
Hello.
You Kelly all day and it's wrong.
That's yours.
Thank you very much. What's your connection with Charlie that you're going to throw on him now?
My husband used to work for a computer exchange.
Did he? What's his name?
Paul McGuinness.
Now I can't remember. I thought there was another Paul I knew.
But did Charlie used to phone him up?
Yeah,
did I?
You used to prank call. You used to do prank calls to computer exchange.
What did I do? What did I do?
You used to call up and pretend to be irate customers.
Oh yeah, that sounds yeah.
Did you do
God,
that?
God, crazy.
You're
great,
bonkers, man.
Yeah. I used to work there. No, I used to work there. So I'm trying to work out. I'm trying to remember because you know we had a big staff turnover. I think in the 90s.
He was a victim of that.
Was he?
Well,
did I fire him?
No.
Wow, this is turned to a tragic story.
People quit, like around. Well, it must have been around the time I met him, about 2000.
Oh, I wasn't working there.
Oh.
Then.
Like that was much later on.
Right. Oh, that's after my
tenure. Actually worked there way too long.
Right. Like most people did.
Yeah.
It was kind of like it was kind of like Music and Video Exchange in Notting Hill Gate.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's sort of that sort of atmosphere. Really, but yeah, there was a big turnover of people. I worked there for longer than I should have done. But yeah. I used to, part of my job was to sit there and work out what video games were worth, amongst other
things.
How part
do you
my
do
job.
That?
Well, you'd sit there and you'd go, Axlay on the Super Nintendo. That's, well, you know, lots of people bought that when it was coming out because they thought it was going to be a big thing, good graphics. Not that good a game, is it, though? So, 15 quid.
Wow.
It was interesting. It was a stock market.
So you know your game stuff proper. You
kind
wrote
of, yeah.
For video games magazines as well, did you?
Yeah, I used to write for PC Zone in the 90s, which was a PC games magazine. Because I'd done comic strips which were advertising the shop I was working in, and the editor of one of the video games magazines had seen them and wanted me to, because that's what I wanted to do, was be a cartoonist.
Yeah.
So I was hired as a cartoonist for a video games magazine. And then one of the writers said, why don't you try writing an article? Why don't you like write? And I thought, I can't do that. I'm not like qualified. Like you need qualifications.
You didn't go to article writing school. Is that what you're saying?
No, yes. Jeez. Well, I did. Weirdly, yeah, I did. I forgot about that. I did media studies.
Oh, you're perfectly qualified then.
Totally qualified. But I flunked media studies because I'm so thick. Because I tried to do a dissertation on video games. It was a really stupid thing to do because I didn't check with anyone whether that was all right. And so
you always have to go through everyone and make sure that the topic... So you failed because it was a dodgy topic?
Yeah, and I didn't check it. I think they were annoyed because I didn't check with anyone. Because I didn't want to really talk to the tutors because it was a bit weird. You didn't want to talk to them.
When you were writing for video games, did you find that a lot of people that read the magazine were tossers? I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
I started writing for Retro Gamer, which is a wonderful magazine. Wonderful. Really geeky kind of old school stuff. And I thought, oh, this will be nice. This will be one area that I can work in where I won't get called, won't get a load of abuse and get called that dick that used to be on the telly and all of that stuff. It'll be kind of nice, friendly, and I'll be embraced. And then after about 6 months, I foolishly went on the forum. Jesus, man, they hate me. All I'm doing is writing about BBC Micros and Dragon 32s. And they're going, well, yeah, well, this bloke doesn't even know who writes the music for the games.
Well, yeah, but that's what happens, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, that's A, that's the internet.
Yeah.
Right? And B, maybe you're just hateful. I mean, you've got to... I mean, look, what you're saying there is wherever you go, people hate you.
They tend
won't
to...
learn from that.
And go nowhere.
No, I think that's... I think there is something about... There's something about gamers,
yeah,
for want of a better phrase anyway, that I think that... We did a sort of games-related... sort of screen wipe spin-off.
Oh, I missed that games wipe. How was that going?
It was all right. It was weird. It was an odd thing to do. It was a sort of one, and we were trying to cram lots of stuff into 50 minutes. Yeah. And because we were trying to cram lots of stuff into 50 minutes, there were people going, "Oh God, well, there's not much coverage of Street Fighter, you know." And you'd go, "Well, of course, yes, because we couldn't cover every video game there ever." And people get very annoyed with you for that reason. Maybe the people are just getting annoyed with you because they want to be writing.
Yeah.
They just want to be doing that thing. I know what that's like. You know, when I'd spent most of my 20s sort of watching TV and just getting insanely angry and jealous that everyone was doing things that I sort of wanted to be doing. I was a hair's breadth away from killing, I think.
But now you're still insanely jealous and angry. I read your book in... I had a long flight to Hawaii and I read it the whole flight. So I read it in pretty much one sitting, two sittings. That's kind of...
Was there no in-flight entertainment flight?
I'd just come back from Japan and I'd seen all the movies. So and so by the end of it, I just got your voice just swearing away in my head and being angry with people. Are you angry?
Well, I think not. But then it seems that... I think I come across as quite angry.
That, yes.
Because... like when people meet me, they're often surprised that I'm not like just barking at them, or you know, trying to punch them in the kidneys or something. I don't think I am actually that angry. It's just that sometimes I'll write something for comic effect, like deliberately be angrier than you possibly could be about something, and people won't get it. I think there's a piece in the book. One week I thought I'm going to just take the piss out of myself, and I wrote a thing where I was going, I hate hats. For some reason, I decided I was going to pretend that I was furious about the idea of hats.
Yeah.
And I said that Royal Ascot was disgusting hat propaganda, right? And things like this.
Yeah.
And I still got, because, you know, these articles go up on The Guardian a lot of the time. And there were comments on there going, leave hats alone! Like, what is it with this guy? I sort of realised that people just do take you at face value a lot of the time, even when you're not necessarily, that's not necessarily your intention.
But you do get a lot of abuse because you're on... Who are you on Twitter? Mr. Charlton Brooker, is that you?
Charlton Brooker, yes.
And that's... I found myself getting into a terrible row with some guy last week. And we were both in the wrong, but he was more in the wrong, but I was a bit in the wrong. And I made... You know, everyone was tweeting about the fabulous Nick Griffin last week.
Oh,
His thing.
Mr.
Charming. And I said, I think that it's backfired. I've become a little bit racist since seeing that fat, wonky-eyed idiot talking on telly. And some guy wrote back saying, you're as bad as Nick Griffin, you are. You're a racist. I said, what? And basically he was saying I was a racist because I called him fat, and that made me as bad as a member of the BNP. And we ended up having this really ridiculous row, and I got the last one in and then blocked him. And you just think, 10 years ago, people didn't have access to anybody else. What I'm trying to say is...
10 years ago, you'd have got glassed. that's how the conversation would have ended.
But do you, with all the internet and the emails and Twitter, do you get loads of people saying you're a tosser?
I probably get enough. Like, and generally, I'm sort of... I'm actually really wishy-washy. And so when people do that, I sort of think, oh, God, maybe I said the wrong thing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have called him fat.
Yeah.
Or something. So I'd probably, like, agonise over it for a while. Well, I hate hearing from people for that reason.
I don't like it. There's the article in the book about Toff School or something, Posh Academy, where it's loads of toffs going around. I saw one episode. It's like some fashion designer goes to Paris with her boyfriend and...
Oh, Class of 88.
That's...
No, Class of... Can't be class of 88, can it?
90.
Class of... 08. Now?
Yeah.
Class. Class of today.
And you slag them off. And then you have a little addendum at the end. You say, well, and after this, someone from the show got in touch with me. And that must be...
Yes, that's right, because I'd basically written a whole thing saying, what a horrible bunch of disgusting human beings. I hope they all die. Yeah. I hope they all die comically on television and we get to rewind it and watch it again and again and again. I want them sliced up into one minute, whatever I said, I don't know. And then one of them wrote to me and said, oh, I quite like your stuff. Hello. Hi, it's me. I'm the guy you really slagged off the other week. And yeah, I guess you probably had a point. We probably did come across as tossers. Oh, well. And I just thought... Oh, now you've humanised it. That's what's horrible, because normally if you're watching TV, you're not really, you don't think of the people on television as real people. You just think of them as pictures, slightly more complicated pictures. And so you don't really attach human feelings to them. So you can say all sorts of horrible, nasty things. It's only when they sort of then get in touch with you, you start feeling bad.
My worst one of those was during the 11 o'clock show, Time Out magazine. It was my favourite magazine. You have to bleep this. Ran an article that said, Ian Lee is a talentless cunt. I remember reading that and going, oh, God. And just being crushed by the weight of swears.
Yeah, that's not very nice. What were they? Was that the extent
that
of the article?
That was pretty much it, yeah. That was pretty much...
And what? It was literally just that?
It wasn't much more than that. I kind of blocked the rest of my memory. But I find, because, you know, doing this kind of thing and I slag people off and stuff. Mm. As I get older and it becomes harder to do that, I get a bit more of a conscience. And also, I meet more people that I slag off.
Yes.
And it turns out, oh, yeah, they're actually all right people.
Do you find that the way the equation works, the way I've always figured it works is the equation works that the more vitriolic you've been about someone, the nicer they are.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah,
seems
pretty
to be
much.
Always the case. I mean, I worked on the 11 o'clock show as well.
Yeah.
I worked on the 11 o'clock show, and I remember, on that show, everyone was slagged off. So you could say it's quite rich to then... But of course, it still affects you if you were to see that sort of stuff written about yourself.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Thing is, I was like 25 when that happened. Mm. I don't think we even ever spoke during the 11 o'clock show.
Probably not. I think I was quite shy and I sat in a corner. You were obviously Mr. Important.
I was full of fear for that whole 3 years. I was terrified.
Really?
I was 25, 26.
You didn't seem frightened.
That was the... I was kind of stoned for most of it, right. If I'm completely honest at that point. And it was just a haze of, how did I end up here? It was terrifying.
Well, I think that's the other thing, is when you watch TV, you assume that everyone on TV is really pleased with themselves to be there and that thinks, I'm doing the best, I am brilliant, look at me, I am the shit. and usually, they're probably, and then the more sort of stuff you do, you think, they're probably thinking... Oh, God. Oh, I hope that's all right. And not necessarily just, like, patting themselves on the back every 10 minutes. But I think that's where a lot of the anger comes from.
Yeah.
But this is unhelpful to think about this, because then, you know, if the more you agonise over thinking about this sort of thing, the more you just pause before saying something
back
foul.
Back to Twitter very quickly. I was watching the Peter Andre show, and literally nothing happened in 40 minutes. He lost his voice or something was the thing.
Really?
Have you not seen this on ITV2?
No, what does he do? Push marbles around? what does he do on that show? Does he lie on his back in a bath, just sort of... soiling himself. I'd watch that and clapping while the water runs. That's how I'd watch that.
It's following him around, life post Jordan. But nothing.
Does he know the programme's happening?
You're not quite sure. But I tweeted, I'm watching Peter Andre. This man has the personality of a shoe. Literally less than nothing is happening. So I tweeted that, and then someone forwarded that Twitter on to Peter Andre. Now, in reality, I don't care what Peter Andre thinks, but then I'm thinking, oh, no. So then I wrote him a message. I tweeted him in Greek saying, oh, I'm really sorry.
In Greek?
Yeah, because he speaks Greek and my wife speaks Greek.
Right.
So I thought that would make me seem... Oh, Jesus.
Why did you do that? What did you say?
In Greek?
Yeah.
I just said, oh, I'm really sorry.
And did he respond?
Of course he didn't respond. He doesn't give a toss. But gone are the days when I can make a joke about Rod Hull falling off a roof and laugh all the way to the bank
and
counting my £50 notes. You know, I can't do that anymore.
Well, it's weird, isn't it? Because that's the other thing. On Twitter, I don't know if you've seen this, where people who might just be randomly slagging you off, but they put your tweet name in, so you see it. So it's sort of addressed to you. So they could be talking to their friend, going, I can't stand that. You know, I can't stand fucking Charlie Brooker.
Yeah.
What a... what, he's an idiot and he's ugly and I hate him. And every time I look at him, I just want to punch his mouth shut. And then you'll see, it's kind of like they've stuck their head in your window to shout at their friend and go, I can't stand this man. And I never know, I'm always tempted to just respond and go, but it's not, it's sort of not worth it. It's like you've overheard them.
There's a guy who runs a Red Dwarf website, and I've slagged off Red Dwarf because it's terrible. It's neither science fiction nor comedy. And he was tweeting to Richard Herring, and all it was, yeah, I agree, and Ian Lee's a massive cunt. And again, it's like, well, you know, thanks. Thanks.
Really?
Good luck bleeping all of these out.
Yeah.
Eloise.
What?
You'll be fine.
What? So, but do you respond to them?
I didn't to that one because I've had rows with this guy before. Mm. Just because. Anyway, let's move away from effing and jeffing on the Twitter. Zombies.
Effing and jeffing.
You
yeah, go on.
That phrase? Zombies.
Yes, zombies.
I'm reading a zombie book that's terrible but it's brilliant.
Oh.
Patient Zero. Have you read that?
No.
Oh, it's.
Is it good?
It's, well, no.
But it's sort of rubbish.
Basically,
I know what you mean.
It's like Muslim terrorists. Right. Islamic terrorists have got hold of a thing that's going to turn America into zombies.
Okay, well, that's a nice contemporary spin.
It's kind
Isn't
of...
It?
Right.
What will it only attack? Does it only attack, like, Christians or something?
Well, all I know is that the first lady has been kidnapped by a secret service agent who I think is actually the Islamic leader who's had plastic surgery.
Right.
And they're going to turn him
it's
into
like
a
zombie. Season of 24 or something.
Yeah, it can condense into a book.
Right.
But I think he wrote the book that was like the diary after the world had been overrun by zombies. Have you read that one?
Is that... Well, hang on a minute.
Whoa.
No, is that World War Z?
Yeah.
No, that's Max Brooks.
Oh, that's a different...
different guy. Max Brooks is, weirdly, Mel Brooks' son.
Really?
Yeah. Doesn't go on about it for some reason. Maybe it just wouldn't sell many zombies.
Yeah, my dad wrote Spaceballs, directed Spaceballs.
Yeah. Well, you'd think you'd put that on the front of your
that's
book.
Strange.
From the son of
that's a different guy. That would explain
came
why
out
the book
the
is...
balls of the man who that made Blazing Saddles or something. Yeah.
Oh, that's a brilliant book.
What, Blazing Saddles?
Yes,
film?
No, the World War Z.
World War Z. That's quite good. No, that's good. Well, I like zombies, obviously. Yeah. In fact, I was going to ask you about this.
Okay.
I've got to go on... Am I allowed to even... I've got to go on Celebrity Mastermind.
Oh, brilliant.
Right, and I was going to do video games. They said I can't because you did it.
No, I didn't.
Didn't you?
I did the Monkees.
Well, they told me you did video games.
I never did video games. I did the fictional pop group The Monkees. I won as well.
I know you won.
Yeah, I beat Nolan.
But you didn't do video games.
No, not at all.
Why did they say you did?
That's a lie. Mastermind has lied to you.
I'm genuinely... Well, because, like, they say, what are you... I don't know if I'm... Are you meant to say that you're going
you're
on it?
You're allowed to say you're on Mastermind,
Well, I'm supposed to go on it, and they said, what's your specialist subject going to be? And the minute they say that, you think, I've never actually thought of that before. Like, what would it... It can't be that broad or that... Because I was going to do video games, and I thought, that's too broad. And anyway, they said, apparently, this I heard back, they said, oh, Ian Lee did that.
No, I didn't. That's nonsense.
Oh,
I never did that.
God!
If you do it, you want to pick a period, though. You want to pick, like, video games 1986 to 89 or something, because then you can't fail.
It's too late now.
Oh, so what are you doing?
Well, I'm going to do zombie movies. Well, originally, I was going to do zombie movies. That's too broad. There's too many of them. So I'm going to do Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, and Day of the Dead.
You're doing three movies?
Yeah.
Well, that's too small.
Yeah, no, because somebody sent me a video. Right, no, because I was going to do zombie movies 1968 to 1985.
Yeah.
Which includes those, that trilogy.
Yeah.
Leaves out the later rubbishy ones, you know, Land of the Dead and those sorts of things. And it also gives you room to do all the sort of really schlocky 70s Italian zombie flesh eaters, that sort of thing. But, yes. No, that again is so broad. It's weirdly broad. It's too. You don't want them to say who was the costume designer on Zombie Holocaust.
It's Celebrity Mastermind. It's not that difficult. One of the questions was, what does Mike Nesmith wear on his head? It was a green hat. Everyone knows that. Everyone
really?
Knows.
Is it that? Because somebody sent me a link to, I think it was Danny Wallace doing Ghostbusters 1 and 2. That was his specialist subject. So...
Was it difficult? Were they difficult questions?
I didn't look at the video. I was so incensed that was the subject. I didn't even look at the video. I just thought, I've really overshot.
Yeah.
I thought saying zombie movies was dumb.
Yeah.
Then narrowing it down to a period I thought was dumber still. Then specifying three films.
Yeah.
Incredibly dumb. But no, apparently I could go even lower. I could go down
just to
the
first half.
Yeah.
Of a zombie film.
The first 5 minutes.
Have you seen Zombieland yet?
No. Because I thought it might upset me. Because I did a zombie thing the other
Dead Set is what we're gently tiptoeing around.
Yeah, I did
was,
that.
Which was brilliant, by
the way.
It was brilliant because there was a little bit funny, but not too funny. Mm. We were worried it's going to be a laughter fest, but there's a nice couple of jokes in it.
Mm.
And it was just bleak.
Horrible.
And it ended bleak, which was what I was hoping for, you know, that you wouldn't wimp out, and you didn't.
No, I was insistent that it was going to be... The one thing I knew from the off... It was originally going to have a completely different ending, although they were all still going to...
Did you see this, Eloise? No. Zombies...
I'm spoiling the ending there, aren't I? It's a bleak ending.
Zombies inside the Big Brother house, basically. Mm. Better than it sounds. You know, it did...
Yeah, it sounds... Because it sounds like a sort of zany romp, doesn't it, from that. So that was why... And I kind of thought, well, you know, Shaun of the Dead, which I thought was a very good film, but a very different sort of film. Because Shaun of the Dead was funny, but it wasn't, you wouldn't say it was frightening, I don't think. And so, sort of with this, I wanted to do something that was like frightening telly, like Hammer House of Horror used to be frightening, and, you know, things like that used to be nasty and bleak and unfair. So I was adamant that it should be horrible and nasty. And everyone involved in it was absolutely up for that. It wasn't like the channel said, oh, no, can you give it a nice happy ending? No. They were fine with that. But originally we wanted, I wanted it to literally go on to, so that the last episode was set like 2 years down the line or something. They'd been surviving in the Big Brother house for 2 years.
Yeah.
And like given birth to children and stuff like this. And that all the zombies outside were slow, shambling, because they were really rotten by then. But we didn't, it worked out that we couldn't sort of do that. But it was fun doing it because we the other thing is, I think, if you know, oh, it's a zombie, the minute you know that you're going to see certain things in a zombie film, you're going to see some horrible things, you're going to see people arguing in a siege and some horrific gore.
Yeah.
But I think the minute you hear that it's a TV series, you assume it's not going to be that grisly.
TV series hidden away. It was at More 4 or E4. It was kind E4. Of hidden away for the first time around.
Well, no,
a bit.
Where you say that, I think you'll find it beat whatever was on Channel 4 at the same time.
Well done. You know, I'm sure it did because it was wonderful and deserved to. But you kind of think, well, hang on, they're not putting it on the proper channel.
No, I know. Well, originally it was supposed to be the first script was written for Channel 4, and they then said no, I think in the wake of all the Big Brother race stuff teed off with Big Brother in general, I think.
Race
and then
zombies.
E4 said, oh, we'll do it.
Yeah.
So that's how it sort of, it came about. But I think it did. I was thinking about it the other day because I always said, oh, I wouldn't do a follow-up because you sort of couldn't in the original setting. And I was thinking about it the other day and thinking, you could just do it, different setting, different part of the country.
Oh, I see.
Same sort of, same thing happening.
In the Strictly Come Dancing.
Well, I always thought The Apprentice, I thought if it was going to be... No, I'm thinking if I did another one, it wouldn't be based around a TV show at all. But if you were forced to do it, it would be, you'd do it around The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Because if you had 10 would-be apprentices... Twats in the posh house they're given, and you know there's a siege outside. You can imagine what those people. how ruthless would they be? I mean, horrible. I mean, because they're quite good at outwitting each other. So it'd be interesting to see 10 the apprentice in a life or death.
Speaking vaguely of The Apprentice, live from Studio 5. Is that not the greatest television program?
I've only seen it a couple of times. Oh, it's really
can't stop watching it.
It's kind of like but don't you find, and I didn't say, apparently the other day they said yeah, Hitler, he had everyone's got good and bad in them. I suppose Hitler had a bit more bad than good. Somebody told me this, that might not be true, but I found it remarkable. I've only seen it a couple of times and I've never seen
so many white teeth there. It's just the brightest.
Well, it's really weird. Genuinely, when you're watching it, you start gravitating towards Melinda Messenger as the by far the brightest person there. I mean, she's not stupid.
No.
But like, you're not used to being in any situation where you would think, well, Melinda Messenger's on the ball.
There's lots of Ian Wright just shrugging his shoulders, going, yeah, well, yeah.
Why
well,
is it? He just goes, yeah, well, there you go. What's that about? Yeah. Huh? Ooh,
Twelve-year-old boy
wants a sex change. I mean, come on, what? Why? What? What? What is that? What is that? And it's that for sort of. And there's a lot of, when I've seen it, is it deliberate? You see a lot of like the floor manager sort of pointing.
I think it's to make it look like it's a bit of a club, and
like it's just going wrong, because that's what it looks like. It looks like it's just going wrong.
Yeah, I think it's meant to be.
Are they told they're on air? Do you know what I mean? Because they sort of talk a bit like they're not. What? Well, there you go.
God.
So Kate Walsh, who was the apprentice, the runner-up, who's one of the hosts.
Going out with Philip.
Yes, going out with Philip, Pants Man.
Yeah,
Pants Philip, man. Who I wrote, I was really horrible about him in print. I wrote something really horrible about him. But yeah, no, so she's in Live from Studio 5, and I wrote a review of it, saying it wasn't the greatest programme.
You said it was ideal for vegetables.
Yeah. Well, it was like literal vegetables, like literally a bit of celery or something in a bowl of milk, kind of looking at. But she tweeted me. Afterwards, she sent me a thing going, oh, not a fan of the show then.
Oh,
like that. And I just felt bad because she seems like a blameless. But you wouldn't, like, if she was selling you something at a jumble sale, you wouldn't go, oh, you're a bit stupid. Your stall's a bit crap. Would you? You'd be a horrible person. Like, I think to take those, that anger into the real world, I'd have to be psychotic. So what do you say? I didn't say anything. I was too shamed. Because what can you do? You can't, if you reply to her and go, oh, only a joke, then you're sort of doing it publicly. Because it's Twitter, you're sort of doing it publicly. So what do you do? I just left it, and then that probably looks like I think I'm better than her.
There's going to be a time, surely, when you can't do this job anymore. When you do get too much of a conscience, and you have met too many people to slag them off.
Yeah. What am I going to do then? I don't know. Well, I know what I'll do then. I don't. What am I going to do then?
Jesus, genuine panic in your voice there.
Well, no, I know. I've thought this a lot because I've sort of thought. What I've done subtly, what I'm subtly doing is slightly. So I suppose I'm doing kind of probably less TV criticism and more sort of general stuff, like news type things, or doing something like Dead Set where I'm writing something. So I'm probably going to go more in that direction.
Okay,
I reckon.
I watched Newswipe, wasn't it? I watched that with Fear. My wife's a reporter. Mm-hmm. And we're just watching everything, please.
For Greek news?
No, she does British news.
Right,
okay. She works at BBC, but she's half Greek. But we're just thinking, please to God, don't let her pop up on there.
Oh, God. Well, don't tell me.
No, I'm not going to.
Because we're doing another series.
Really?
We're doing another series in January. But I have to start writing some bits for it now, which might seem odd that it, obviously it being a topical programme. But I think the BBC want to know... Generally,
oh, they're such babies at the BBC.
They're partly worried because we've got to get it in before this. Because when the election comes, there's all new rules that come into place. And I think they'd just like to know because last time we were sort of giving them things just minutes before we wanted them to broadcast them, and there were lots of sort of legally contentious things. So I think they just want to be across it. But so I'm looking at stuff at the moment. I'm looking at lots of news footage from throughout the decades and contemporary stuff. So maybe she's already popped up. Maybe I wrote something yesterday.
Slagging my wife off. Oh, well, these things happen. And any more TV shows happening?
What am I doing? I'm doing, after that, I'm doing a ScreenWipe roundup of the year.
Lovely.
In just for Christmas. Then I'm doing NewsWipe. And then after that, I don't really know. I've got various things I'm supposed to do. One of which involves going abroad and one of which is a sort of scripted thing about.
Top secret.
Well, yeah, but it's one of those things that's sort of top secret because it's probably not going to happen. I don't know. It might or might not happen.
Brilliant.
But it's like a nasty things. It's a thing about nasty things happening to blameless people.
I'm Sky Plusing it. It sounds brilliant.
Sounds
man.
Good, doesn't it? I made that. I've really sold that.
We should plug the book, I suppose, is what you're here for.
Oh, yeah. I'm meant to be plugging a book, aren't I?
That's it. Yeah. The hell of it all. Is the it out now? All.
Yeah, it's out. It's weird when you do a book, it comes out like they say. It's not like TV or anything else where, there's a sort of, can you hand the book in by can you get all the text to us by June the 7th? All right. It's July. Oh, okay, that'll be all right. Oh, yeah, it comes out at some point. Oh, it's in the shops. All right, yeah. It sort of fades in.
Wow.
Because I was told it was coming out on October the 22nd. Yeah. It was on sale in October the 1st. We're having a launch for it in November. I don't understand. How does that work? That's just mental. I'm amazed frankly, bookshops are a shambles. Do you know? It's a disgrace. How, if you have a book out, you never know if it's going to be in a shop or not. You sort of, and then you have to do the horrible thing if you walk around looking to see if your books.
You don't move yours to the front.
No. Oh, God, I wouldn't even be caught standing in front of it because then people think, think that you're looking at your book and basking in your own assumed glory. Whereas actually what I'd probably think is, oh, God, I look like a prick on the front of that book. Oh, look at that. Who'd buy that?
Some people go in and sign their books. But without like a book signing, but just going to the shop and sign their books.
Really?
Because then they can't be returned and it counts as a sale.
What is that? Why people do? What is that? Is that how Dan Brown has? Is that what he did?
Yeah.
Really?
Do
people
to,
really
all of
do
the
that?
Borders and books, etc. Just signing. Yeah, because then it can't get sent back, and so it counts as a sale. And
why not just print a signature in it? But why then, not just print? They could do that. They could print it in blue.
Yeah.
They've got the technology to do that. Just stamp it.
Are you going
to
do any books? I spoke to Paul Daniels on. When did we speak to Paul Daniels?
Really?
Last
Wednesday.
Yeah.
I bumped into Paul Daniels not that long ago, and I said, "You are my childhood hero," because he was. Really? Yeah.
Well, this is why.
Are we the same person?
I kind of got him on because you tweeted it, and it made, I was thinking of guests for the show. I was like, "Oh yeah, actually, Paul Daniels. When I was 8 or 9 years old,
yeah,
he owned Saturday Nights, man. It was his world totally."
Mm.
He was waiting. We interviewed him, and the whole time you could just—he was waiting for the joke. He was waiting for the kick in the balls and us to run off laughing. You know, he wouldn't relax and accept it as
So what? You really stuck it to him?
Yeah, he went, "Yeah, you bald git. You married that old tart." No, we didn't. It was a lovely, really, you know, genuine, affectionate thing. And he was kind of.
Was he pleased?
I don't know. Was
he? Didn't believe you, did he?
I don't think he was pleased.
Did he basically leave going, "Oh, I suppose you'll edit all of that together and make me look like a fool"?
There was an element of that. What was he like when you spoke to him?
Well. Mm. Well, no, it was only very briefly. It was literally, I said, like, "Ah, you are my childhood hero." And he went, "Yes, and mine."
What does that mean?
I don't really
know.
It automatically was patter. You know, it was patter. I used to read his books of magic and it would be like, "Patter, you had to do patter while you," because I used to want to do magic tricks and stuff like that. And you automatically laugh like he said something very funny. Yeah. Like that. And then, afterwards you think, what? I don't know what that meant. But that's what magic's all about, isn't it? It's just, he distracted the bit of my brain that was supposed to actually logically process what he'd said.
Yeah, that's how we, distraction.
Mm. God, you could do all sorts of...
He was talking about sheds a lot, about he needs to,
He wrote a computer game.
Did he really?
Yeah, he wrote a computer
game. He actually wrote the computer game?
He wrote a computer game.
Wizbit?
He wrote...
Was it Wizbit?
Something like... No, he wrote an adventure game. Yeah, called something like Paul Daniels' Magic Adventure.
Wow.
Yeah, no,
let's get geeky, because we should let you go. You've been here for ages. we're only going to cut down to 2 minutes and edit it to make you look like a knob, so... It doesn't matter.
That's what you did, fucking Daniels. Yeah.
You're getting the Daniels treatment, whether you like it or not.
Okay.
What's the best computer game system?
Oh, well, you see, I like the Xbox 360, because everything's available for it. You see, and it's useful. It's easy to use.
Yeah,
it's like easy, and most things are on it, and it can do most stuff. I discovered the other day you can plug a USB key into it and watch episodes of Larry Sanders you've downloaded off the internet.
Yeah, I think
I didn't realize you could just do that.
Yeah, I think you can do that. Well, you can do
that. Yeah, I didn't realize you could though. So that was just yet another feather in its cap.
And what are you playing at the moment?
Well, I'm not. At the moment, I've got some things that I should, but I've been watching all this stuff for Newswipe. I've been watching political interviews from the last 40 years.
What fun!
Instead of, I played Left 4 Dead.
I love Left 4 Dead, man. That's one. Nice. Left 4 Dead 2 coming out.
Left 4 Dead 2's coming out, and I've got the last thing I bought was a game called Borderlands the other day, but I haven't played it. I don't know what it's like.
That sounds rubbish.
Well, it's not a very exciting title, is it?
Yeah.
And I've got what I've got. I've got Uncharted 2, which is for the PS3. I haven't played that yet.
Apparently, that's brilliant. So
I've heard it's
by
brilliant.
That, but I don't like my PS. I don't like the PlayStation.
I don't like it because do you find you can't tell when it's on or off?
Yeah.
Like,
there's no clues to it. No noise, no lights.
It just goes bit. And and sometimes it comes on when you don't expect it to. The Wii does that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed that. It comes on.
I've not noticed the Wii coming on.
Yeah, it comes on. Then they come on and they go away. It's, like they know better than me when they should be on, which is frankly not fair. No, and I don't like, you have to fiddle around with the lead. Why is it just going to, you just want one lead. That's the one memory I take from working in computer games shops throughout the 90s is how angry I used to get about leads all the time, because 90% of my job involved pulling joypads and aerial leads out of drawers and trying to untangle them. And like constantly, even now, if I glance, there's some leads I can see there coming from that phone, and that's making me quite angry. So I can't wait until everything is wireless. I think genuinely there'll be a lot less anger in the world when everything's wireless. You know what I mean? Like, when are you going to get, like, wireless... Like, electricity. They've done wireless electricity, haven't they? They've invented that. They've invented it. Wireless taps, that's next. And then we're totally wireless. And when you can, wireless toilets. So you can email crap. I've often thought that should happen. I don't know what I'm talking about. But don't you think? I mean, look how many cables there are in here, doesn't it? You don't have to. Somebody comes in and tidies these away, and look, they've clipped clips around them all, so they're all neat. If this was my house, this would be a, like, I'd be dragged in. You'd have been cutting me free. It's a genuine point. Do you not get angry about cables? How many cables have you got in your house?
So the book is. The hell of it all.
Yeah.
Charlie Brooker. Yeah. It's out there.
It's in the shops.
Dead Set's on DVD as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's just come out with a new cover. That's all. A new cover.
Have you done a commentary on it?
No. You see, we didn't have time to do a commentary. No, I'll tell you what it was, actually. Because when it first came... Sorry.
So I was wrapping up then. Yeah. Now we're back into another 20 minutes.
I'll just quickly tell you that when it first came out on DVD, the DVDs were pressed before it had gone on air.
Yeah.
And they said, do you want to do a commentary? And I thought, well, no. Because what if it's been the biggest flop ever? And because I've seen that before on things where I can't remember what it was, but it was a DVD of some series, and on the commentary they were going, well, here we go, it's episode one, and well, maybe this was a big hit, you know, you never know, maybe it was a disaster. And it had been a disaster.
Fantastic.
And then they just sounded like tits for the rest of the company as they're bothering to describe how funny it was the day that they had to find the costume for the man, and you just thought, I don't care about your failed project. And so that was why, you know, being cautious, I thought, you don't know what tone to strike. Because, you know, you sometimes get apologetic commentaries. You know, don't you? You've heard the Danny Dyer one. Have you heard the Danny Dyer? Oh, you know, look it up. Is it Nick Love? Right.
Oh,
who's the director? Is he called Nick Love?
Maybe.
Just Google it. It's very funny.
Yeah.
There's a commentary for...
Danny Dyer is in My Manor.
Danny Dyer. I like Danny Dyer.
Yeah.
And I said something horrible about him on TV, and then he wrote in his column in Nuts that he was going to quit TV presenting because we'd taken the piss out of him on this TV programme. I felt terrible. But no, he's on this commentary. It's him and this guy, Nick Love, I think. They've directed a film called something like Vigilante or, you know, Hard Nut or whatever. It's really fun. And they go, yeah, when did this fucking film come out? It got cunted. Absolutely cunted. I tell you what, though, fucking, you look at the Taxi Driver, when Taxi Driver come out, cunted. Right? The fucking, and they're like, they're literally talking like the fucking, yeah, I don't fucking know what they're fucking, and you know, the tone is of bruised defiance, I would say. That's a bleep fest I just gave you. But, so you don't know whether to adopt that. You know, everyone who's slack, you don't know what tone to adopt. That's the short way of saying.
You haven't, in summary, you haven't done a commentary for Dead Set.
No.
The book is called. Charlie, it's lovely to see you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
I hope this was better than Steve Wright, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was different. Different audience, isn't it? Different, like, it's more relaxing. Because it's like Steve Wright, it's like sort of like, you know, it's sort of like your parents' generation or something. So it's a bit like you think, oh God, I'm going to...
I did Steve Wright years ago. It's all recorded in the morning.
Yeah.
That's what surprised me. You should go at 11 o'clock and do it.
Yeah, and he sort of sits there. He didn't really look at me. He was doing stuff like he was Rick Wakeman he'd look at me every so often, then he'd fiddle about with something.
Okay, he's a really great guy. Charlie Brooker, he's a really great guy. He does all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he did a bit of that. I did a radio thing the other week. Sorry. But I did a radio thing the other week. And
you're listening to the Charlie Brooker show.
It was Speech to Bell, right, was on it. And Hugh something, who was a nice guy. But they were younger people. They're like in their 20s.
Yeah.
Whatever. And they were like checking their email and stuff during this whole interview that was going, checking their email. I think Speech to Bell was looking up the Argos website and looking up... like the Tefal toasted egg or something. Anyway, I don't know what I'm babbling about. Sorry.
We can end now.
Yeah,
we've done 40 minutes.
I'll shut up.
Thank you. It's nice. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.